Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Well, once again, it's the Redemption Time broadcast with Brother Larry Knowles. I would like to welcome each one of you to our broadcast and invite you to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we explore God's Word, what He says about some things. And we'll have a song with you, and then we'll be coming back for that. But first, I'd like to give you our church announcements. They're at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 9:45 for Sunday school. At 10:45, we begin our morning worship. Sunday evening at 6, we begin our Sunday evening service. And then Wednesday evening at 7, we begin our midweek service. Give you an invitation to come and be in any of these services that you could. I know the Lord will bless you. And you'd receive something from God if you come expecting God to bless you. Had a great revival this past week. Brother Tom Gillum delivered 5 messages on prayer. And my, what a powerful subject that was, how it helped me in my Christian life, and I believe some other people as well. And if you missed it, you just missed a great blessing. We appreciate the blessings of the Lord, all that He does for us day by day. And we appreciate the Lord for who He is and what He is. And I appreciate you for being here with me this morning on the broadcast. Invite you to tune in each week as we try to share some things from the Word of God with you. And trust the broadcast is a blessing to you. Now we'll have a song and then I'll be back.
Consider all the
Merlin Williams and the Harmony Trio with How Great Thou Art. And my, how good way to start off this, the second broadcast of the year, as we extol the greatness of God and express to Him our heartfelt gratitude for all the things He's done for us, brought us through another year, kept us on the air, has done all of the good things that we could ask for. We appreciate Him so much. Appreciate you for being here with us and listening. And I do trust that the broadcast is a blessing and a help to you. Now, let's have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get into today's message. Still looking into the book of Joshua, as we are looking at the defeat that they suffered at the Battle of Ai. Our Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here today, and for each one that's listening. Thank You for the sweet revival and the good spirit that was there every night. Thank You, Lord, for the ones that came, for the visitors, for the church folks that were so faithful to come. Lord, we do thank You for Brother Tom and for the messages that we heard and for what You did in our heart listening to those messages. And Lord, we do thank You this morning for all these things that You've done. We thank You most of all for who You are and the work at Calvary that You finished our salvation and bought our soul's redemption. And Lord, have made it possible for us to be called a child of the King. Pray, Lord, now that You'll just go with us through the broadcast. Bless each one that's listening. Help those that need help this morning. The sick, Lord, or those that are disturbed in one way or the other. Maybe they're heartbroken over something. Maybe they've lost loved ones. Pray, Lord, that You'll help them. Lord, most of all, if there's one out there today that's lost, would You just speak to that heart? Bring them to a place of understanding their need for a Savior and save them before it is too late. Lord, we ask all these things in Your name, and we'll give You all the glory for anything that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'd like to turn with us to the book of Joshua, we will once again be in chapter 6, and still continuing the thought we were on last week. If you look in verse number 18 of chapter 6, you'll find that God had told Joshua to tell the people that everything in that city is accursed. And if you take anything out of that city, you will be accursed. And verse number 18 is where he said, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it." So last week we were looking at the defiance that Achan exhibited when he took this Babylonian garment and the wedges of gold and silver in defiance of what God had said. Now, it was not a matter of ignorance, because Joshua had made it very plain, God had made it very plain to him, and Joshua had made it plain to the people that they were not to take anything. And so you can only chalk this up to Achan's defiance. He did not care what God said about it. He was going to have his own way. And I believe that in the society that we live in today, when we see so many things going on contrary to the Word of God and to the ways of God, and we think, and this is not ignorance, I don't think that even the younger generation that has been raised largely out of church, I don't think that they're ignorant of what's right and wrong. I believe there's a certain amount of knowledge of right and wrong that we have, whether we've ever been a day in church or not. I mean, just common morality would tell us that some of the things going on today are not right, and they will not be tolerated by God. And yet, instead of complying with these things, people today still defy the Word of God and the ways that God has laid out and the things that God has said. God's Word's not respected a whole lot anymore, except among the few believers that still believe that the Word of God takes precedent over modern theology and over modern morality. And so we find that in defiance, not out of ignorance, but out of defiance, a large segment of today's society continues to defy what God has said. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. If a person trying to tell you something that you cannot back up with the Word of God, then you better stay away from that person because he's a liar. The Bible said that. I didn't. Then, thought about the example of Samson. If you've ever read the story of Samson, Samson was a Nazarite. He had taken the vow of God upon him. Certain things that he could not do in order to maintain his status as a Nazarite. And one of the things was to stay away from women, stay away from dead bodies, all of these things. And yet, time and time again, Samson defied those vows that he had taken, and he did those things anyway. And we find that he was so deceived that he actually one time revealed the source of his strength to Delilah, and she revealed it to the Philistines, and they came in and cut his hair. She cut his hair, lost his strength, and they came in and took him captive. Can I say to you today, dear friend, that if you defy God's word long enough, the Philistines will get you. That faction in the world out there that cares nothing for God or his word, they will eventually suck you right into their trap and will get you into the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life if you're a child of God. If you constantly defy what God has said about living for him and being one that bears his name. Not only that, but friend, if you're not a child of God, if you have defied that verse that says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, then, my friend, if you have defied the belief that that verse says that all it takes for you to be saved is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work there at Calvary when he hung on that cross and died in your place, they buried him, and the third day he rose again, victorious over that grave, victorious over hell, victorious over death, and today, my friend, salvation is not a thing. Salvation is not a do. Salvation is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you defy that, then one day you too will pay the consequences. What happened to Samson? Well, if you've ever read that account, you know that first thing it is, he lost his sight. If you're a child of God, and you start defying the Word of God, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to lose sight of what's right and wrong in your life. You're going to convince yourself that you can go on and be like everybody else. But then the next thing that happened to him was he lost his freedom. He was taken captive, and they put him to work just like he was an animal, just like he was a mule or a donkey or an ox or something like that. And then eventually, he lost his life. They put his sight out. They locked him in this place and made him grind the mill just like an animal. And then eventually, when his hair grew back and they had forgotten what they had to do to weaken him, and that hair grew back and he gained his strength back, he knew that being blind and with the defiance that he had shown in the past, that his life wasn't worth a whole lot anymore. And so he prayed that the Lord would let him, give him strength to take that place down. And he put his hands on the pillars of that great arena and pushed them down. And the place fell down and it killed Samson and it killed all of those Philistines. And the Bible said that he killed more at his death than he did in his life. And he was a great warrior, had killed many of God's enemies, and yet he died with them there in that arena. Friend, defiance can have you dying in some place you don't want to be at. And not necessarily physical death, but that you've got to face once you are out of this world. If you've never been saved, you do not want to go out of this world unsaved, because you will immediately drop into a burning hell. If you are saved, you do not want to defy God's word and go out of here like that, because you're going to face Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll all give an account, every one of us, of our stewardship. What have we done for him and with him since we've been saved? And defiance leads to disappointment and to a rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ. Lose our reward and lose crowns. So defiance, the great enemy of a child of God, great enemy of lost people, because it brings them to hell. Then defiance leads to disobedience. Defiance leads to rebellion. That's what defying the word of God is a rebellion against God, against what he said, disbelieving his words and thinking that you know better than what God is, or you want to do what you want to do anyway. And when disobedience occurs, then rebellion begins. That starts in the heart. That is the inward part of disobedience. The heart rebels and believes it knows best what it wants over what God has said. And then disobedience is the actions that takes place as a result of a rebellious heart. Why do we have such a godless society today? Well, I believe personally that it all started back in the 1960s. Children before that time were largely obedient to questions, to parents. They didn't question what their parents said. But then in the 60s, they began to question and to defy and to rebel against their parents. Now, if you begin to question the authority of parents, let me tell you, the parental authority is the first contact that a child has with authority. And the reason that the Bible says for us to honor that father and our mother, because if we learn to honor that authority, then we will submit to his authority, and we'll also have respect for the authority of law, And the reason that our prisons are full, the reasons that our rehab centers are full, is because there is a total disregard for the authority of God's word, of God's people, and of the authority of the laws of the land. We have become a society of disobedient people. And it all started when, well, you know, this guy, Dr. Spock, he back in those days, he said, don't spank those kids. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not an advocate of child abuse. You should not beat a child. You should not mistreat a child. You should not abuse a child. But the Bible says to correct them. And you can do that in a lot of different ways. But most of the time, what I'm seeing today is nobody's even trying. Some child out in public is acting like a total brat, and mom and dad paying him no attention, just letting him go. Why? Because they don't know what to do with him. I heard Brother Roloff one time, years ago, was in one of his meetings. He was telling us about a young a boy that his parents brought to him and wanted him to keep him for a while and see if he could do anything with him. He was 5 years old, and father said, I can't do a thing with him. And I agree with Brother Roloff. I've never seen a five-year-old that I was afraid of. And yet, that was the thing going on. This was in the late 60s, early 70s. And that's when this whole thing began to fall apart. And society lost its respect for God and became disobedient to everything that God stands for. Next thing that happened was that society ignored all the rules of decency. They threw off all the restraints. The rebellion was reflected in the music, the hard rock, and all that, those things that used to, those big concerts that went on back in the 60s when the musicians began to attack God and the truth in their songs. And we're seeing the result of that today. What's happened? The glory of God greatly has departed from this society. The respect for God is gone. That means the respect for the authority of law is gone. And that leads to chaos in a society. And that's exactly what Satan had in mind when he started this whole thing decades ago, to reach the point to where there was lawlessness, there was iniquity, there was sin, blatant disregard for God's word, God's people, God's ways. And that's where we are today, friend. And that is the same thing that got Ai to be such a defeat for Israel. Here was the greatest army in the world at that time, had been greatly feared by all the people in Canaan. And then here's this little bitty town of Ai, and has done put them to light, done put them to flight, has done killed 36 of their people. And why? Because they suffered defeat because of disobedience. And you too will suffer defeat one day because of disobedience. If you're not saved, that disobedience takes the form of a lack of faith, a lack of repentance, a lack of salvation. And one day, you'll pay the price just like Israel did. Once we begin to attack God and the truth, we're on a downward path that'll soon spiral out of control, and it will lead to destruction, whether it's of an individual, whether it's of a country, whether it's of an entire society, or whoever it is. Disobedience to God in defiance of His word, rebellion in the heart, and disobedience in action will definitely lead to the next thing. That my next point is defeat. Now, can I say this? The church is not defeated. Oh, we look around today and churches that still stand by the true word of God, still preach against sin, and still stand up for the right thing, they're not real popular. Now, if you want to start some program where you feed people, and nothing wrong with that. If someone needs feeding, I think the Christian thing to do is to feed them. But if you're getting people in simply for nothing but to feed them or to entertain them and to give them something that appeals to the flesh, if you want to do that, you can probably still do pretty good, but you're not really accomplishing anything for God. If you really want to stand by the Word of God and the principles of God and do what God says, then you're not going to be real popular in this society today. But I can tell you that the church is not going down. The church is not defeated, and it will never be defeated. For Jesus said that on this rock, talking about himself, he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We can rob hell of its occupants if we stand by the Word of God, preach the Word of God, practice the principles of God, and get the Word to as many folks as we can, and all that believe the gospel will be saved, and we can rob hell of its participants if we can get them before they go there. Now, once they're there, there's no getting them out, but we can keep them out if we get the gospel to them. Why do you think that I spend my money every month to keep this broadcast going? Why do you think that I take the time every week to make this and get it to the radio station? Is it because I enjoy this? Well, God's given me a great joy in doing it, yes. But that's not the reason. The reason is I want to get the gospel out in the airways to as many folks as I possibly can. Now, I don't know. You know what? We've become so accustomed to the gospel here in this country that we've become so callous that I'm not sure anybody even listens anymore. And if they do, I'm sure they don't pay any attention. They just chalk me up to some another nut that's out here pushing something. And my friend, I don't know how that goes, but I do know that there are places in the world today that people are hungry for the gospel. I understand that this thing goes on the internet around the world. And if I'm not reaching anybody in Knoxville, Tennessee, or surrounding areas, I hope and pray to God that I'm reaching somebody by way of internet somewhere that still wants to hear the Word of God and wants to know that Jesus loves them, He died for them, and will save them. They do not have to live a life of defeat. They do not have to die and go to hell, because Jesus has made the way, and all it takes is to repent of our sins and come to Him. So defeat. You do not have to be defeated. Stay away from the defiance. Stay away from disobedience and from rebellion in your heart. Stay true to God. And just listen to what God is saying in His Word. Respect Him. And most of all today, friend, if you've never been saved, I know this hasn't really been an evangelistic message, although there are some factors of evangelism in it. I've told you that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He was buried and He rose again, according to the Apostle Paul. That is the gospel. And that's what it takes to save you. It doesn't take works. It doesn't take money. Doesn't take morality. It doesn't take any of those things. It takes faith in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, yonder on Calvary, when He died in my place and in your place, that we might be saved. Today, friend, if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, I want to invite you to just humble your heart. If you're where you can, get on your knees, humble yourself before God, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to save you. If the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, I know He'll do that. And I don't want to see anyone die and go to hell. And friend, my desire today is that in the closing minute of this broadcast, if the Lord's spoken to you, would you just bow your head somewhere and confess to Him that you're a sinner? You can't tell Him all your sins. He already knows it anyway. Just confess to him and say to him the same thing that he said about you, that you're a lost sinner, that you need to be saved. Ask him to save you for Jesus' sake and to make you a child of his. And I know on the authority of God's word that if you do that, the Holy Spirit spoke into your heart and you respond to that, he'll save you. Now may God bless you until keep you safe until we meet again next week.